Everyone at one point or another has experienced fear. For those who disagree, maybe you have experienced worry, concern, anxiety. Those are all forms of fear. The Webster Dictionary defines fear as painful emotion marked by alarm or dread. Several writers of spiritual work have said of fear that it is one of the most subtle and destructive errors that the carnal mind and man experiences. Fear can paralyze us so that we can barely think. It makes us feel like we are in bondage or in a prison. When we are afraid, it is difficult to see beyond the appearances of this world. Fear cements us more and more to the belief in duality, good and evil. It fosters the belief that some are lucky and some are not. This means that we are turning away from our true self, an eternal being, and losing faith in God. When we are afraid, we are putting faith on that which is of this world that can hurt us in some way. Fear is an expression of faith in that which is negative. Fear is believing that there is a power equal to or greater than God. Fear is believing that we are separate and apart from God and can do something to us, hurt us, or destroy our life. Fear is to believe that God is punishing us in some way. In the Bible it says, "The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, never forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." God cannot do anything to us that would hurt us in any way. God can only do that which is of his nature, and his nature is good and very good. In fact, God is pure, perfect, eternal, love, peace, joy, and wisdom, and much, much more. In James 1:17, we are told, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God is the same today as he was from the beginning, as he is in eternity. His nature can never ever change. He created us in his nature, and he is very pleased with us because we are his beloved. How can anything negative come from our Father when every good comes from God and God is all there is? There is nothing beside God. We live, move, and have our being in God. God is the one and only good. Jesus told us so. The appearances of the consciousness of good and evil make us feel like we're separated from God. Here is truth to ponder on. It is not possible to be separated from God. Right now, right this minute, we are one with God. Now, we may not have conscious awareness of this right now, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, because it does. When we believe that we are separated and apart from God, we are living an illusion. While we may not have the conscious awareness, as of yet, of our oneness with our Father, it doesn't mean that God has left us. In truth, God can never leave us. But we have left him in consciousness. We made our human consciousness more important to us than our true consciousness. Our fears, worries, doubt, concerns, all of those pull us away from our Father, making us prisoners of our own mind, with the inability to sense and hear God as he guides us to our true spiritual self. Franklin D. Roosevelt, in his first inaugural address, said, "The only thing that we have to fear is fear itself." This was during the Depression. It was critical for him to get people to stop focusing on their fears and start looking at how to go forward. Fear solves nothing. As I said earlier, it paralyzes and only brings more of the same in our experience. Mrs. C. L. Brown, in her book Studies in Divine Science, said that fear and worry are faith in evil. When we focus on anything, we continue to bring it more and more into our experience, especially if we are emotional about it. Most people would say that they don't have faith in evil, yet their actions tell a different story. This is because they see, hear, and feel tells them evil is real and that they are evil people in the world. So-called evil is an appearance. An appearance has no substance. Mankind created it with its thinking and actions. In reality, our peace, our life, our knowledge, our supply, in fact, all that we ever need and want are of God. Even our permanence comes from God. Life everlasting is of God. The disconnect comes when we go to God to solve our problems or find ourselves in some trouble. The message that we give God is that we only want the fruits of the Spirit, but we really don't want Him. God is not here to solve human problems, although it may seem that He does when we turn to Him on a regular basis to abide in His presence, in His silence. When we consistently turn to our Father with a heart that yearns to be with Him and is ready to do His will, our so-called problems disappear. They disappear because in the presence of God, they are nothing. They have no substance. When we abide in God's silence, our consciousness is open to God and God's grace and blessings. That's when those blessings can come through and manifest in our lives. God waits for us. He waits for our return to His kingdom. Let us remember that God has already given us the perfect life. But until we consciously live from the Christ consciousness, we will continue to live from the ups and downs of this existence. Putting faith in a temporary existence that will give us what we believe is our good one day, and then it disappears the next. But problems and challenges are our opportunity to learn. Jesus used parables, basically stories, to teach a truth. The prodigal son is one of those. It is a good example because it really is a story of you and me. This parable is found in Luke 15:11-32. The summary of this parable is that a man had two sons. The younger of the two asked the father to give him his portion of whatever the goods were that his father had. So he took that part and his belongings and he went into the far country. The far country is symbolic of separating oneself from a spiritual consciousness where we have a relationship with God. In other words, we are separating ourselves from our good. Clearly, the son was going on a journey to find his own way. That may sound familiar. Maybe you don't remember it when you were a teenager, but if you have teenagers in your life, you know it. But he spent all of his father's money, the money that he gave him, And at the same time, there was famine in the land. So he found that his basic needs could not be met. So he went to work in the fields to feed the swine and to eat the leftovers of the swine. As he was working in the fields and eating very, very poorly, he then realized that in his father's house, the servants eat very well while he was dying of hunger. So he decided to return to his father's house and was willing to work as a servant. His father saw him from afar. And when his son arrived, the father kissed him in his neck and had compassion for his son. He then told the servants to bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. He also told them to kill the fatted calf, and they had a great feast for the return of his son. One of the lessons from this parable, and there are several, is that when we leave the Father's house is consciousness. When we leave God's consciousness, then we're on our own. We're on our own. The leaving of the Father's house speaks to our search for something more than what we are experiencing at the time. This desire first begins within us. There is something within that prompts us to go beyond where we are in consciousness. We interpret this as going out into the world to find ourselves. This is before we know truth and how to live with it and work with it. So we make a number of false starts and practices. We've all got stories. The young son going into the far country is our answer to the unrest we feel within. Many people want to find their own way. They still do not have faith enough in God to show them the way to his kingdom. During these periods, many experience difficult times. Perhaps they lose a relationship they had invested in, or a job, or maybe they got involved with addictive substances, or have had to face major challenges, health problems, and other things. I have found that many writers of spiritual material believe that our problems are a blessing, and I would agree. It is sometimes the loss or emptiness that we feel that moves us to realize that there has to be more to life than this. Peggy Lee was wrong, and those of you that are my age know what I'm talking about. She said, she had a song called, "Is That All There Is?" Our search begins when we realize there is more to life than what we know and are experiencing at this moment. I have come to realize that once we have a relationship with God, it is God that doeth the works. In my life, there have been times that I have found myself at a crossroads, a fork in the road, and I honestly didn't know what to do. Some of these times I picked the easy path, the path that I knew. As I reflect back, it was in those times that things didn't turn out the way I thought they would. The times that I picked the road less traveled actually gave me many great surprises. In fact, it started to direct me into a particular direction that I ended up here. However, I don't believe in being at the right place at the right time, as I said a little earlier. I believe that if we have faith and trust in God, that he will guide us always to the right choice that is right for us. But if it wasn't for our problems, maybe we wouldn't even be turning to the Father. Turning to the Father and saying basically, "Father, do with me what you will." None but the pure of heart can enter the sacred holy place in consciousness. We practice the truth we know by having faith in God. We stand in recognition of God when we are still enough so that His grace is flowing through us and out to the world. When we stop judging others, knowing that they also live and move and have their being in God, this is love, and this is practicing the truth that we know. We all want a relationship with God, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Yes, I understand that sometimes we have a need for someone we love has a need and all else seems hopeless. Our first step is to ensure our faith is strong and steady. There are many definitions of faith. For me, I believe that faith is not only a mental attitude, but also a feeling in our heart where nothing out here can change our view. To have faith in God means that without external evidence, we have a knowing within that God is with us, and that we are with God. This is why I don't talk about my spiritual beliefs or divine science outside of the church, unless somebody asks questions that are interested in a metaphysical teaching. Only because if people don't understand that we are already one with God, they start to think you're a little nutty. I may be a little nutty anyway, but not because I believe in God. We must work for the highest and most complete state of faith, for faith is the backbone for which God's power moves. In that state, there is no longer in us any doubt. We don't have to deny or divide the truth that we affirm. Goldsmith said, "I will not look to man for kindness, courtesy, consideration, but to God." You will find that you have touched the source of love, the source of life, the source of good. We never attack the problems that we have. We let them go, if only temporarily, and be still and quiet, and abide in the silence quietly. But we must do this consistently, because that opens the door for God to express in our life. We never need to address the problem at the level of the problem. We stand still. We just stand still and we abide. As we continue to focus our attention solely on God, love begins to flow to us and through us. Not always does love come through those in whom we are looking for it. Not always does love come through those from whom we expect. However, this becomes of no importance as we grow in the understanding of true love. In divine love is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything in it. The great harmonizing principle known to man. Divine love is pure and perfect. It loves for the sake of loving. It is not concerned with what or who it loves, not with a return of love. Love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. To truly trust, we must truly love. It insists that all is good. And by refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality finally to appear uppermost in itself and in all things. Whoever turns to God as Holy Spirit for healing is calling on divine love. Divine love brings us our own. It corrects all misunderstandings and makes our life and affairs whole, happy, harmonious, and free. Love fulfills the law because when we are the instrument for God's expression of grace and love and harmony and wholeness, are experienced even by those who may not yet have this spiritual understanding. Love is compassionate and understanding. The understanding we must have in our hearts is that everybody's identity is the divine child of love. In the movie Love Story, again I am dating myself, there is a famous line that says, love is never having to say you're sorry. I would say that love is never having to expect apologies. God's only begotten dwells within our very own being. Wherever we go and whomever we meet, the Christ is there. It makes no difference whether the person knows this or even believes it. Let us be compassionate towards others and not judge them, for they live and move and have their being in God. This is love and practicing the truth that we know. As we continue to focus our attention solely on God, love begins to flow to all around us because it is coming from the Father through us. It is not our business where others are in consciousness. Our business is with God and God only. Therefore, we must apply the truth that we know every single day. To know God's love, we must practice the presence of God consistently. We must learn the language of God. It is to be silent. It is to abide in the silence where the soul may know God. When we practice the presence, which means to practice the prayer of silence, nothing out here can touch us, affect us, change us, or have power over us. Let us dwell in spirit and be open to spirit dwelling in us. The silence is the kingdom of the soul, which is not seen by human eyes or heard by human ears. When we are in the silence, the still small voice leads and guides us. But we must remember that we ourselves must prepare the way. No one can take us there, and no one can do it for us, nor can we do it for someone else. But the pure of heart can enter the sacred holy place in consciousness. I say this every single time I speak, because I think it is critical to focus on our spiritual unfoldment and not on anybody else's. Yes, if someone asks questions about our spiritual beliefs or what has changed for us, we can share our understanding and our experiences. But our work every day is not to run away hiding from the world, but to do all things that are given us to do without any thought or result or reward, relying always on the I within us, but to open our eyes and heart to the kingdom within. We carry the silence within. This is the secret place of the Most High. John 8:32 tells us, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We are truly free when we can live our life, God's life, with faith and love. And so it is. Will you please join me for our closing meditation? If you feel comfortable, you can close your eyes, relax your bodies, and just let go of all that has been consuming you, if only for a few moments. Turn within. Turn within so that you can abide in the silence where our Father is found. Just be still. Just be still. Listen. Listen with your heart. Listen with your heart. For God will speak to you. Perhaps not in words, but you will know. Father, return to you in your silence, to abide in your love and your peace and your joy. Your perfect grace envelops us, leading us to your pure and perfect consciousness. Each day we rest in your silence so that you can direct and guide our every step, every word, and every action. We seek you to return to our holy place, your kingdom, your glory. We contemplate on the attribute of love, seeking spiritual understanding. Your love is with us at all times and in all places. Divine Spirit, your light guides us and leads us along our spiritual work. We are ever grateful for the awareness of this, your spiritual understanding. Now and forever. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines his face upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you freedom. Amen.